I'm just a normal boy that sank when I fell overboard. My ship would leave the country, but I'd rather swim ashore. Without a life, thus I'd be stuck again. Wish I was much more masculine. Maybe then I could learn to swim like
14 miles away.
Now floating up and down, I spin colliding into sound. Like whales beneath me diving down, I'm sinking to the bottom of my everything that freaks me out. The lighthouse gleam has just run out. I'm cold as cold as cold can be.
From the heart of Broadway in historic. Oh, should I keep that, or should I just keep going, or should we do it again?
Let's just do it again.
Let's do it. No, I'm going to keep it going.
All right,
fine. I'm going to keep it going, because this is the kind of show that is so serious that we have to laugh every once in a while.
Start everybody off with a little laugh.
Start everybody off
just with imagine a Shannon laugh. Doing that intro with the Cosby face, and you'll be much happier.
Think of Bill Cosby every time you close your eyes.
Uh-oh.
That's the key. Hey, from the heart of Broadway, in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, it's Family Feud. Nope. It's Podzilla 1985, and we got a special treat for you guys tonight. We got a split show. The first time we've done that, well, actually it's not. We split the show a lot, but this time it's only two times. Normally we have a pizza pie, and we cut it up in eight slices, and we get a different topic for each eight. Today, only two. The first half, we're going to be talking about the horrible story out of Massachusetts with Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy, I believe is his name.
Yes.
A suicide pact that turned extremely tragic and quite infuriating. We're going to talk about that in the first 30 minutes. The second 30 minutes, we're going to talk about employment. And I'll tell you why we're going to talk about that in the later half of the show. With me tonight, of course, Shannon Young, your host, as always. We have Ethan Craigmile from Podzilla 1985.
Hello, it's good to be back.
Host of Nerd Up and the marvelous Jesse and Chris, Jesse Kimball.
Yo.
And special guest tonight for the first time on the show, old friend of mine who decided to stop in and want to talk about this stuff with us, Kurt McDowell. Sir. Good to see you.
What's up, guys?
Nothing much. It is a pleasure to have you on here. I'm surprised you wanted to be on. I'm surprised you've listened to it. I'm surprised anyone's ever listened to this show.
Every time I see listens on the show, I'm like, oh, hey, look at that.
I think, why? Don't you have something better to do?
You guys don't give yourself enough credit. You really don't.
Like, you know, I've heard that for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're just going to get whatever we're doing, it's working. So we're just going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
So thank you all four of you that are listening to the show.
I take the David Letterman approach of self-depreciation. Well, Ethan, if you're not on the show, you're not listening. So screw off.
Okay.
Aw.
Now that
why
we got to
be so mean to Ethan.
Well, no, I'm not going to make the joke. Not on the air.
I almost did.
I know.
I was ruined.
Suddenly, our three listeners go down to one.
Someone get Ethan his helmet so we can start the show.
No.
Well, I have the shiniest helmet on the bus.
Remember we said this was going to be a serious show?
Nope.
Well, that's gone out the window. Let's jump right into this, guys. Before we do, I know we said we weren't going to talk about it in length, but I feel it is worth mentioning. You guys are going to want to be in Jackson this weekend for the Heritage Rally. Who is sponsoring this in Jackson, Missouri, Jesse?
It's Hanner's Wholesale Missouri. I don't know anything about Hanner's Wholesale other than the redneck who owns it happens to have a replica of the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard,
which they are holding this event to restore it.
Right.
Not to listen, rednecks, not to restore the General Lee, but to restore a replica that someone bought that they want you to foot the bill for so they can.
This is a man.
I don't know.
That bought a Charger.
Or woman. I think it actually is a woman, actually.
Okay. Either way, this is an individual who bought a 1969 Dodge Charger,
I believe,
correctly.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And they painted it up with a Heritage flag on top. They changed the horn, and that's it. And you are going to give this individual money. This has never been on the Dukes of Hazzard television show.
Never.
You're wanting to give this individual money to continue to restore their car. While you're at it, I need a new air compressor in my car.
He does.
I have no AC.
It's warm in there. No.
It's very hot in my car.
Yeah.
If you guys just want to send money to me and I can restore my car as well, I'd really appreciate it. I'll put the horn in there.
You'll put the rebel flag on your car.
If you give me $2,000, I might wave the Heritage flag.
You know, without spinning on it.
That's what gets me about this. I just want to say, before we get into the show, the fact that all they're doing is this is for personal gain, and the fact that they can say this is for our heritage and for the rebel flag and all that, and people will flock to it like moths to a flame, like starving dogs, just because they have some innate sense of rebelliousness in them, that they've been insulted, that their heritage has been insulted, and they want to support it, but you're not supporting your beliefs. You're supporting someone that wants to fix their car for free.
Mm-hmm. So, Shane, if it's okay with you, I think I'm going to read that excerpt from the Cornerstone speech for the people that...
There are people out there that still don't know what the heritage is about, Jesse.
Yes.
Tell them what heritage they are referring to.
All right, give me 1 second. I'm pulling it up right now. The internet here is not quick.
Let's make some small talk. Ethan.
Yes.
What have you been doing?
Eh.
All right, you're out. Kurt.
Perfect.
Kurt, how's the teaching going?
It's awesome. I teach my first class tomorrow morning.
And what are you teaching?
I'm teaching.
All right, I found it.
All right. Hold on. We're in a conversation. What are you teaching? I want to know. I'm the viewers to know.
Just a basic health class. I'm a GA.
Yes.
Teacher's assistant. And I'll be teaching a basic health class for freshmen, some juniors and some seniors, some sophomores. And then I'll be teaching 2 exercise physiology labs.
And if you need a guy to tell you how to get in shape, it's this guy. This guy is a rock. So, Jesse, you and I.
Hey, Kurt.
Need to talk
Shannon
to this
and
man.
I yeah. need to be in shape. We'll talk about that more after the show.
And he will talk to you about it. Trust me. I've been
I can. Yeah, like,
I've been barking up this tree for a while. I just haven't jumped into the pool.
No, yet. I love it. I can't shut up about it.
But before then, we're going to talk about some heritage. Jesse,
all right,
heritage
so now,
me.
This is your heritage. This is the heritage you were supporting. This is a direct quote from Alexander Stevens. Those of you that don't know, since you don't know what the point of the flag is, probably don't. Alexander Stevens was vice president of the Confederate States of America after the secession. Our new government is founded upon exactly the opposite idea. Its foundations are laid, its cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. This, our new government, is the first in the history of the world based upon this great physical, philosophical, and moral truth.
Now, if that is a heritage that you want to support, and God bless you for doing it, Jackson, this weekend, Jackson, Missouri, August 29th, 1 o'clock, they're going to have the rebel flag. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there to talk to some of these people. I am going to be there, Jesse.
Can we please show up with a Nazi flag and say we got lost?
I'm sure they would accept us.
Okay, as a resident or former resident, as in like 2 weeks ago, grew up there my whole life, not everybody... I just want to, like, show some grace to them. Not everybody believes that. I don't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But it is still kind of
and I
silly,
feel like
for the lack
the
of a better term.
Majority of people, well, when I say the majority, there exists a large portion of those people that see the Confederate flag. They've always seen it waved. They think it's just a, quote, Southern thing.
Yeah.
Which is why we call it the Heritage Flag.
The Heritage Flag.
It's a fun little joke
fits,
here.
Yeah.
Like Tanner. Tanner flies the Heritage Flag.
Whoa. Does he?
Yeah.
I think we should be careful before we throw that out there.
He did it on the air.
What? I don't remember seeing a rebel flag. Where was that at?
We've talked about this.
Maybe I blacked that out. I browned out that day.
You may have browned out that day. Anyway, but, you know, Tanner's brought that up, and it's one of those things, like, a lot of those people aren't, like, Tanner's not racist. I've never thought of Tanner as a racist
Tanner's
man.
No, Tanner's definitely not a racist man.
I know a lot of those people aren't. Though, for whatever reason, they can't let go of the fact that their flag, the flag they're supporting, represents racism.
I think it's just, they want to rebel. Everybody wants to rebel against something. A lot of Republicans hate the government right now, especially with President Barack Obama in office, Hussein
Barack
Obama.
Hussein Obama.
So they're looking for something to rebel, and the rebel flag is that symbolism for them. So, my goal is to be out there this weekend with a tape recorder talking to some of these people, and we're going to put what they're saying on the air next week. We're going to find out what their thought process is on this.
Because they won't respond to me on Facebook.
They won't. You've been.
I can't figure out what their thought process is because they won't tell me.
You're a 5-star man.
I'm a 5-star man.
All right. So we'll see you guys this weekend. Terrence, I hope you'll be there at the, at the Heritage Festival. Let's jump on into this. This came across my desk this morning. I had not heard about this story yet. Read this on, oh gosh, what is it? I originally saw this on the Sydney Morning Herald.
I was about to say it was on Australian news.
Yes. But it is not from Australia. This is from the United States, in Massachusetts, I believe. So what happened is Michelle Carter, was texting her quote unquote boyfriend. And I say quote unquote, it was an online relationship, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how my fiance and I met originally was online. Of course, she did not goad me into suicide. which is what this woman did. And when I first read the article of, let me say the exact article name that I saw, teen girl Michelle Carter's text blamed for suicide of friend Conrad Roy. I thought, okay, I've seen this case before. Bullying. They'll text them and say, you should kill yourself or something like that. You know, they're picking on them. That is not the case with this. This is not three or four text messages sent. This is days upon days of goading and badgering. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Carter is the girl's name. Roy is the boy's name. Roy is the one that killed himself. Carter says, so I guess you aren't going to do it then. All that for nothing. I'm just confused, like you were so ready and determined. Roy says, I'm going to do it eventually. I really don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have everything lined up. She replies, no, you're not, Conrad. Last night was it. You kept pushing it off and say you'll do it, but you never do. It's always going to be that way if you don't take action. You're just making it harder on yourself by pushing it off. You just have to do it. Do you want to do it now? And it gets worse than that. This goes on and on.
The way it ends, actually, is probably the worst part.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to read it on the air. We'll post a link, but the...
Do you want me to read it on the air? I'll read the goddamn thing on the air.
You son of a bitch.
We also have to keep in mind, you know, when we talk about this, we're dealing with someone, family, so maybe keep that in mind too. I don't know. Just an idea.
I highly doubt that they're going to be listening to our show, but I get what you're saying. Suicide itself is a touchy subject. I mean, the reason I wanted to do this show especially was because I have dealt with suicide in the past of my own. I've hit a few low points in my life where I have thought about taking my own life. I have been as close as I had the knife in my hand while Lindsay was at work. I didn't do it.
Clearly, and thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But you know what I didn't have when I was in that dark moment is I didn't have someone telling me, you should do it. Why don't you do it?
And then
you pussy.
It's also worth mentioning that several times throughout this text conversation, this individual, Conrad Roy, is actually in love with this girl.
And he says it quite a few times.
He says it several times, and she says the same thing. So this isn't just some person that he knows being a douche saying, like, just do it, man.
No,
just
this is someone he...
This is someone that he loves.
Yeah, someone that he trusts in their feelings and listens to what they say. She has a very heavy influence on him.
And to sum up the ending, I guess, Shannon, you can read it if you want, but the basic summation there is he's having second thoughts. He doesn't know how to leave his family. And she's saying, don't worry about your family.
Yeah.
They love you. Don't worry about your family. Just do it. Yeah. Just go and do it.
She, at one point, says, and this part caught my eye, says, like, don't worry, I'll take care of them.
Yeah, she says she'll take care of the family.
I'll make sure they're never alone. I'll make sure that people are always with them. And at that point, it's either a lie or, I don't know. Maybe we'll get into it later, but I tried. Never mind. We'll get into that part.
This was a long distance relationship, right?
This wasn't a long distance relationship. This was, they met at a hospital, I believe. And to go to what you're saying, Kurtz, about the family, I'll take care of them. Yeah, I'm looking for it here, but she says, don't worry about your family. I'll take care of them. Don't worry about your dog. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of your student debts. I'll take care of everything. Don't worry about it. Just go kill yourself right now. Are you doing it yet? Are you doing it yet? This is what I got from that. It's like the dog that's chasing around the big dog going, hey, what are we doing? We going to kill yourself? You going to kill yourself? Huh, huh, huh. It's sickening.
It really is. Yeah.
But here's the most sickening part about it. Not only is what happened sickening, the fact that there are no laws where they are from that is against it.
No, from my understanding, because she is...
She's being tried for involuntary manslaughter.
Yes.
But they have said that in their state, it is going to be so hard to convict her that she will probably walk.
Because I think the issue from what I read... If you actually are physically there assisting someone in suicide, like you're actually trying to get them to kill themselves, then you can be charged for involuntary manslaughter. But because this happened over text conversation, that's where the gray area is. Because there are no laws in Massachusetts about assisting suicide via text.
Yeah, intimidation is what it is.
Right.
In my opinion.
And, well, I mean, not even so much intimidation. Like, it's encouragement.
Yeah.
Like... That's the worst part about it. This fucking sociopath.
That's what I said. Sociopath. Yeah. That's a great word for it. Yeah. Psychopath, sociopath, whatever you want to call it.
Bitch.
That's too.
One of them.
I also love the image that because I also saw the Sydney, Australia, the Sydney Herald.
You mean the picture we're going to use for the show of her doing the Michaela Maroney face?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a really fucked up picture to tag to that. It's like, yeah, girl talks a guy into suicide. And you see this picture of this sociopath doing the Michaela Maroney face, like, oh, I can't believe I'm here.
Well, I don't know if you guys knew about this, Kurt. I think you might, because you got quite a few notes there we're going to get to. But not only did she do this, immediately after that happened, she started texting his family asking, where is he? You know?
You know exactly where he is.
He's dead in a parking lot, and then, you know that.
And not only that. Well, go ahead, Jesse. I think you're going to make the point I was about to make.
I was going to say, and then when they find out that he committed suicide, she says that first, she says she doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah, she said, her words, not quite, I'm paraphrasing here, but she said, I think he might have been up to something. I wish I could have stopped it, but I didn't know.
And then later, later she admits that she knew he was trying to commit suicide and that she had tried to talk him out of it.
Yeah. And it wasn't until she found out that due to procedure, police procedure, that they were going to go through all of his messages and they were going to see exactly what she wrote to him. Mm-hmm. That is when she started changing her story and saying, I knew he was going to do it and I just wanted him to be okay because I didn't want him to live through this forever. Not only that, but then she did a suicide prevention rally in his honor. She's a sociopath.
I want to talk about that later.
And she started making a bunch of posts to social media.
Yeah. Why did this happen? Wish I could have stopped it. The fact that she's going to walk on this probably is sick. The reason I wanted to do the show, because I want as many people to know that this girl, what is her name? I want everyone to remember her name. Michelle Carter killed this kid.
Yeah.
She killed him. If Lindsay were to tell me in my darkest hour, back when I had that knife in my hand, and I believe it was after my father passed away, my mother had passed away years ago, you know, I struggle with depression as it is. If she had said, you should probably just do it and you'll be happier, I might have done it. So thank God she didn't do that.
That's because she's not a fucking sociopath.
Well, easy. We don't know that for sure. She does have an unhealthy obsession with My Little Pony and Sailor Moon and
there it is.
Project Runway.
And Lindsay just smiling.
I was waiting for her to put her on the computer.
That Joker-style smile right there. Kurt, you said you wanted to talk about the suicide prevention rally. What do you got?
I wanted to talk about a lot of things, but on that note, again, you have to take everything you read on the internet with a grain of salt.
That's true, yeah.
Everything you read has to be taken with a grain of salt.
Well, thankfully, Ethan, they can't lie on the internet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. In that case, then we're golden.
We're golden.
So she makes this rally to, in his honor.
Right. Because of what he did. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not even in his town. Okay. So this community member has committed suicide.
Right.
And his quote unquote girlfriend has taking the time, who killed him?
Yeah,
who killed him?
I mean,
raises
lead a horse to water and then drown him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
raises this event in her town.
Right.
And a friend of his contacts her because he caught wind of it because it was on social media and advertisement and everything.
Right.
And he was just like, "Hey, I want to help." And he's just like, do you want to move it over here? This is where his hometown is. More people know him over here.
Right.
He means more to this community than yours. And her response was, I can't, I already have people helping me here. It was all about her. Yeah. And then it got to one point where, he was telling people and she reached out to him and was just like, are you taking credit for my event?
I saw that. Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. She thought he was trying to take credit for
it's not about you to rally. Start with.
This bitch is a psycho.
She is.
And I really think when looking into it and more or less attempting to study it, I really don't think that she's all right in the head.
No, I think she's definitely not.
Clearly not.
It sounds like I'm joking about the sociopath thing, but that's very much sociopathic tendencies.
Yeah, it's very accurate in at least assuming that.
Well, not only that, but I mean, she's smart. She's top student.
Yeah, she's National Honor Society student.
So she's, I mean, she is what will eventually, you have a possibility of turning this into a potential serial killer.
Yeah.
You don't have to stab someone in the face to be a serial killer. There are people that can't, I mean, try, what's the guy from, Jim Jones? Was Jim Jones? Oh God, I'm gonna forget the guy's name. The cult leader
Drink the Kool-Aid?
Drink the Kool-Aid guy. Was it Jim Jones? Hold who's it? We got people.
I don't think it was. We do got computers going here.
I'm something Jones.
It was Jim Jones.
Jim Jones, yep. Okay. Jim Jones was a serial killer. He murdered tons of people.
Yeah, hundreds.
But he didn't kill a single one of them. They killed themselves because they listened to him. He was a monster. This girl is a monster. And everyone should know that Michelle Carter is a monster. So if she walks away from this is not the kind of person that deserves a happy life. She should be thrown into jail for the rest of her life for being a monster.
Mental institution.
Yeah.
Now, yep. That being said, I completely agree. But I at least tried to think from her perspective to at least gain some empathy from this situation and see the situation from her eyes.
Right.
And it was tough. It is incredibly tough.
It's hard to turn. It's hard to look into the mind of a serial killer.
It really
unless
is.
You were a serial killer yourself.
And there was like one thing that I think a remotely sane person would try to do in a positive light. There was a bunch of negatives. She was just annoyed with him. She was trying to show him for being silly, quote unquote. She was doing this for selfish reasons, but there was one possibility that it still won't do her justice for this, but she genuinely thought that there was no helping him and she didn't want him to be left alone.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the case.
No, she, like,
how many people, like you said, have been, you're in that place and you're alone.
And I want to mention the reason Jesse and I are smiling is because you keep hitting the table.
I'm so sorry.
Which
the listeners can hear every bit of that. Yeah,
I apologize.
I didn't want to interrupt everybody. You because you're making some good points, but I'm looking at Jesse. He's looking at me and we're like, you keep smacking that table.
I will not do it.
Which that's our fault. We didn't mention that before the show.
Yeah,
this
no,
is
we
your first time
didn't.
On the show.
Yeah.
Right. I apologize. I'm just excited.
But yeah, I exactly on your point, there were times in their conversation where you could tell he wanted help.
Yes.
He did not want to kill himself.
Yes.
He just wanted her to love him, and he wanted support. But instead of supporting him, she said things like, I'm going to read some more of the text here, because it's really good.
Define good.
It's really
Shannon?
Dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think on the day that he killed himself, he said, I'm home. She said, okay. He said, ah. She says, what? I don't know. I'm stressing. You're fine. It's going to be okay. You just got to do it, babe. You can't think about it. None of that sounds like she was trying to help him in any way. She is flat out telling him, you have to do this. It's not even a, you should do this. You have to do this. You have to kill yourself. And if that is not the first step toward being a sociopath, I don't know what is. This guy needed help. She should have called his parents. She should have called the police. She should have said, this guy is going to hurt himself. You have to do something for him. And she did not. She goaded him and used her love for him and his feelings for her to talk him into killing himself. And I don't see how in our society that a person like this is going to be able to walk away from that.
I was actually talking to Billy and Ethan before the show.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Well, fair enough.
Poor Ethan.
So I was talking to them before the show about this. And honestly, this sounds like the setup to a horror movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually my first thought when I was reading through the text messages earlier, is like, this bitch's about to get haunted.
Forever.
Forever. Or she's already possessed by some sort of demon.
Yeah.
Like, and I was sitting there thinking that, and then I had to keep, like, telling myself, no, this is real life. This is really happening.
This is like that on that, what was it, Unfriend?
Unfriended.
It's almost exactly like, that would be the
That was what I thought.
I feel like she might be the next playable character in a Silent Hill game.
Well, she wouldn't be playable.
No, she'd just be the
She'd be the villain. You shoot her in the face at the end.
Good.
All right, Del Toro.
shoot that bitch in the face in the end is what. But unfortunately, this is real life. And even though I am a believer in the paranormal, I know that there is probably no, at least right now, no otherworldly justice coming to this woman. It is up to our American justice system to give him justice against her. What was the name? Oh, God, I can't believe I'm forgetting all these names tonight. The woman that basically, she killed her baby. And then not only did she get away with it, but she's now.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? It was just
a
couple years ago.
Like, yeah.
Pretty little white girl. Baby went
Florida?
Missing. Was it? I think it was Florida.
That's what comes to mind.
We're going to look this up too.
I
apologize, listeners. I usually have a mind like a steel trap, but, I haven't felt well today. I bled earlier out of my nose. I think that took some of my, brain cells.
Kaylee
away.
Anthony. So the mom's name was
Casey Anthony.
Casey Anthony.
Yeah.
Casey Anthony.
So Casey Anthony, she didn't report that her kid was missing. They found the kid dead. All signs pointed to that she had done it, but without the hard evidence or whatever bullshit technicality she got off on, she walked away scot-free and now she's making money writing books, doing interviews. This girl is going to do the exact same thing. She's going to walk. She's going to do an interview on Today. She's going to write a best-selling book. They're going to make a movie out of her. She's going to get rich for convincing a guy that thought she loved him to kill himself.
Yep.
And America is going to buy into it like the sheep that you all are because you can't get enough of shit like this. It's the same reason the Kardashians are rich. It's the same reason that O.J. Simpson wrote a book called I Didn't Do It, But If I Did,
This is how
I'd Do It. But I didn't do it. Then he went to jail for stealing his own stuff.
God, that,
I missed that story. What?
Well, you never
long
heard that
story.
I haven't.
Quick version is he donated a bunch of his stuff. Oh God, what's happening?
And Jesse did not silence his computer.
No, I did not.
That's not normally something now. We have to worry about.
Anywho, yeah, it's really not. I very rarely have my laptop out. No, he donated a bunch of his stuff to like a museum, I think, and then they were going to auction his stuff off. So he went and stole it before it could get auctioned off because he didn't like the fact that they were profiting on the stuff that he donated. And he got caught stealing his stuff back. And yeah, now he's in jail.
And that's the lighter side of the news.
Interesting.
The darker side of the news, I want to read a couple of her, her posts that she did after he had passed away, after they found him dead. Such a beautiful soul gone too soon. I'll always remember your bright light and smile. You'll forever be in my heart. I love you, Conrad. My personal favorite, I will never understand why this had to happen. And enjoy the parade from up there tomorrow, Conrad. I know you would have loved to be there. Really missing you tonight.
Horrible.
It makes me sick. It makes me when I read this story, it's not often. I'm the kind of guy that goes to Live League, and I watch people blow their own brains out to keep myself grounded. And this particular story actually made me a little sick to my stomach. It's disgusting.
It could have been prevented. It could have easily been prevented.
Yes.
And it didn't because this woman is, once again, a sociopath
and
a
brilliant
monster.
And will get away with it unless you don't let her get away with it. So what do you think, what happens in a case like this? Like, what's a good punishment for this? What do you do to her? Kurt, what do you do to a person that does this to somebody?
I mean, it's tough. It really is because you play into the crazy card.
Yeah, is she nuts?
Is she literally insane? Is there like hope for her to rehabilitate? And then you go into the belief on whether or not you think it's right to kill murderers or not, or to keep them. People have differing opinions.
Yeah. That's joking.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm so thankful I don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy.
I don't want that responsibility.
I'm thinking old school lobotomy. Just pick straight to the eye. Hmm. Bink, done.
I think solitary confinement for the rest of her life. To me, that is the absolute worst punishment you could have, because let's assume there is an afterlife, whatever you believe. Let's assume there's an afterlife. All you're doing is sending her there faster, and depending on what God you believe in and how merciful he is, it might be better off than where she's at now. If you put her in jail for life and she's going to talk to other people, not bad enough. But solitary confinement, imagine being put in a little room for the rest of your life with no contact with the outside world other than a meal.
They actually have done psychological studies on that. Most people can't last more than, I think it was, 14 months before they go completely insane.
Sounds good to me. Sounds absolutely fine to me.
Yeah, like, nobody's able to handle that long of solitary confinement before they just absolutely lose their shit.
Well, we're not designed as...
Yeah, we're social
as
creatures.
Yes. No. Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's... No. Community is, like, part of us, ingrained in us deeply. Yeah. And that is... That's, like, the worst punishment. I completely agree with that.
I think
we as pack critters, if you will.
Like dogs. Ethan, what do you think?
I had so much I wanted to say, and it's just, I can't believe that this human being would do this. I mean, she's a fake.
She's a fraud. She's a phony.
And a big fat phony at that.
Well, you know what she is? She is an attractive little white girl.
Yeah, and she's gonna get away with it.
She ain't that attractive.
Well, she's probably going to get away with it.
She'll get away with it, and she'll get a book of the month club deal, and she'll be on Oprah. Does Oprah still have a show?
I don't think she doesn't have a show anymore, does she?
I don't think so.
She does have her own magazine and news channel.
Yes.
But this person just... I struggle with it myself, with suicidal thoughts.
I know. You've talked to me about those thoughts before.
Yes.
Yeah.
And... See what I did, and what did you do in that situation?
I told you to knock that shit off and told you to straighten up and, dude, there's things to live for. What did I not say to you? I didn't go, yeah, you'd probably be better off if you just did it. Do you have a knife? Go get a knife. I'll send you a YouTube video on where to cut.
Here's a pair of scissors.
Yeah, here's a pair of scissors. Can you go suck on an engine, or on a car exhaust pipe? Give a sucky blowy to a car engine?
But I'm like, this just goes against what I feel like should be human nature to help someone.
Oh, completely. How is it natural? I was thinking about this before the show. How natural is suicide? Does this happen anywhere else?
Every single person that
Well, I think he's talking about another species.
Like,
oh, like do animals commit suicide?
Well, to both questions, people and animals.
Personal story. Bob did have a fish that we went in his room and the fish was outside of the aquarium, dead on the ground. I believe that fish killed himself because he would rather die than live with Bob.
And I think, like, what's really sad is I want to say that Bob, at least a small part of him, like, he knew everybody was joking.
He kind
of
thought it was true.
He was joking.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was like, damn.
I killed that fish.
I killed that fish because he didn't want to live with me.
There is a great documentary. It's not great. Don't let me say that. It's depressing. But there's a documentary that they did about the Golden Gate Bridge, which is has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, or in the world, actually. And, they set up a video camera to record just the bridge. Over the course of a couple months, I think, maybe shorter than that, and they caught so many people jumping to their deaths, and they did a documentary on it, and they talked to the people that didn't die. And I think they said every single person that didn't die said as soon as they jumped off the bridge, they immediately regretted their decision and realized it was a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yes.
Yeah. So suicide is common, unfortunately, and is it everyone's right to take their own life if they so choose to? It's your life. Shouldn't you have the right to end it if you don't want it anymore? Yes, I believe that is your right. But think about it. There are so many resources you can dig up. There are so many places you can go to talk to people and realize that it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. There ain't no coming back from that.
No.
Regardless of what you believe, this life will be over. The people that you know now and that you love now will be without you. It is done.
Oh, plus, if I'm not mistaken, the whole idea of the Christian thing, like, that is the one unforgivable sin. As far as my knowledge goes.
It's a gray area. It really is. Because Christ will say that the only unforgivable sin is to slander the Holy Spirit and his works. And then that in itself is a gray area. I have never read in scripture where it says, if you kill yourself, you're unforgivable. Well, that puts God in such a small box. That makes God very small. I'll forgive everything but that.
We'll have to check with Nate Smith on that one. Oh, we'll have to get clarification.
But I did, in terms of like finding help and everything else, I did pull up the suicide hotline number to make sure that we say it on the air so that.
Not that we think any of our listeners want to kill themselves,
but you can
for listening to us.
Yeah. But I mean, if you know anybody, because. Oh, that would be really terrible.
That's a bad joke. I killed myself because they didn't
have
enough.
They leave a note like, the Podzilla 1985 crew is so depressing that I killed myself.
Oh, God. Oh,
that's what a headline.
This is coming out of your paycheck, Ethan.
That doesn't go on my
resume. I don't even have a paycheck.
That's a resume booster.
So, yeah, what is that number, Jesse? If you know anybody that has any sort of like issues with this, any problems, please, please call these people. They're very helpful. They're people there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number is 1-800-273-8255. And honestly, if you type suicide hotline into Google, it's the first thing there in huge text. Like, Google's real helpful on that. They even show like hours, languages. They've got the website and everything all there available. So yeah, if you know anybody that's having trouble with this, please, there are tons of resources out there. Take advantage. Don't be,
Conrad Roy. Or Michelle Carter.
Michelle Carter.
Yeah,
that was
either
the one.
Of the parties.
Yeah.
The darkest thing I think I've ever done in my life was when I was suicidal, I actually looked up all the methods I was planning. I was looking up the least painful methods, which one would kill me the fastest. And there are so many resources online for how to kill yourself.
Wow.
And one of the things I actually found.
So it's good to have a place you can go to get the opposite.
If you do have a friend that's, you know, known to be suicidal or has had suicidal thoughts, one of the things I actually saw recently that has really stuck with me, if this person has not sought treatment and one day they go from being depressed and upset, you know they're suicidal, they come back and they seem happy, they seem to be in good spirits and everything's fine, that is a huge red flag because that likely means they've made the decision to kill themselves and they have a plan. And it's happening soon.
You hear that, Lonnie? Every time I smile at you. All right, let's. Yeah, that was a dark one.
Seriously, I'm so worried for you.
Oh, it's good to worry for Shannon. He needs more attention.
Yeah, you do.
No, let's move on. Let's go into hour two. half hour two. Let's skip ahead to something a little less depressing and very important as well. The reason we're doing a split show is because I had posted on Facebook, listeners, what do you want to hear? Do you want me to talk about this, 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 or this? And by popular vote, it seemed like the employment issue is something they want to hear us talk about. I did want to talk about the suicide first, though, because it means a lot to me personally. But we are going to move on to employment. And you know why this came up to me? Is because I've had at least two or three people in the past couple days come into the store and ask, you know, are you guys hiring? Of course, everybody's looking for a job. Mm. Well, we're not hiring. We hardly ever are. It's one of those things you have to know someone who knows someone to get in at Gaming Grounds just because we're an exclusive club and we don't like foreigners. Outsiders. Outsiders.
Hey, Donald Trump, when'd you get here?
That's Nick Cage.
I was about to say, I don't know what that's from.
But the thing that strikes me odd about it is when I tell them, no, we're not really hiring, but here is a couple places that I know for sure is hiring. They will hire you on the spot. They're not interested. They don't want a job that's quote unquote beneath them or that they don't want. They want the job they want. And they don't realize that sometimes you have to work somewhere that you don't want to work at to get that job you want.
Well, I remember a very particular individual that
please, Jesse, enlighten us.
Sent us a resume. At,
oh, this son was of at a our, bitch.
This is at our GameStop days.
This was a great story. Wow. I wish I still had that letter.
I really do, too. Basically, the short version of this one, guy sends in an application and a resume to work at GameStop. Now, he will only do management. And he is already lowering himself to do management. He goes on to list his qualifications and why management at GameStop is so far beneath him. And then after all of this stuff of gloating and just really putting us down as, you know, management at GameStop, just like shitting all over us.
I still remember his exact quote. He said, "The time for not taking a job because it's beneath me is over." is what he said. And yes. Jesse, why was that time over? What was his best qualification?
His best qualification was that he was tried and convicted as a murderer.
Wait, what?
This was yes. a murderer.
This was
that
a
wanted
murder.
A job
he
with us.
Just got out of jail. He was tried and convicted, and he claimed innocence, but he had a deadbeat lawyer.
He didn't think the lawyer would get him off, so he didn't want to take the risk. So he pleaded out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and now he has that criminal record, and that's why he's struggled to get a job, so he's got to take something beneath him.
Yeah, so of course a murderer would fit in great at GameStop.
Only as management, though.
But only as management. I'm trying to think of a joke here. Something about killing the customers with kindness. Ethan, you got anything? Take his helmet off. It's
hindering his ability to get to the microphone.
It's squeezing his brain.
I'm just like, ugh.
He's still wrapped up on the last story.
Yeah.
He's still worrying about me. If you worry about me that much, you can buy me Gears of War on Xbox One.
Okay.
Please don't actually buy him Gears of War on Xbox One.
Do not listen to Jesse Kimball. Please buy me Gears of War on Xbox One.
Well, I don't know who to listen to.
Who do you think you should listen to?
What do you think?
I'm just enjoying you looking back and forth with this struggle.
Who's your buddy? Now, Ethan, you're a young man.
Yes.
why that's so funny to me. You struggle with employment.
Yes.
Now, are you not taking jobs because they're beneath you?
Like, I just told myself I didn't want to work in the food industry. Does that mean to you guys that I view the food industry as beneath me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, see, like, Ethan also has the luxury of choice, and he has worked in the food industry before and decided he didn't like it and it wasn't for him.
It's not for anybody.
That's true.
It's a terrible
I also
place
worked
to work.
Food service, and it was pretty awful. And see, Ethan has far fewer financial commitments than the rest of us at this table.
It's true. He's a kid.
And that is because you are younger than us. You will eventually
How
have
old
financial
are you?
Commitments.
Yep. 20.
Oh.
Oh, never mind. Get a
say.
Job.
Well, he just turned 20.
Okay.
I've been trying.
We've employed him here. Of course, here we don't have as many hours. Again, it's hard to get a job here. It's difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what you need to remember about the food service industry is they are clamoring for a $15 an hour rate. Because the argument is that a minimum wage should be a living wage. Which is true. You should, if you have a 40-hour a week job, you should be able to survive on it. Surviving on a 40-hour a week job does not mean having money to buy whatever you want. And I think that's where a lot of these people that want that $15 an hour are coming from. They don't want to just survive. They want to flourish. And you should not flourish on a minimum wage job. That's why it's called a minimum wage job, is because it's the job that people take when they can't get employment anywhere else. It is the bottom of the barrel. You're working at McDonald's for a reason kind of job.
Essentially high schoolers.
Yes. Yeah. It's mostly built for high schoolers.
Professionals to work here.
Yeah. Well, yes. You really shouldn't be employing full-time workers at minimum wage.
No, it's kind of, redundant. It's a contradictory statement in a way. It's like full-time minimum wage. The two don't go together.
And plus, I mean, like minimum wage at this point in our country is a joke.
Oh, it is. Like,
it's an absolute joke. If you look at someone working full-time at minimum wage, they are making, before taxes, $15,912 a year.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
The poverty rate for a single person living alone is just under $12,000. So we're looking at $4,000 shy of poverty for someone that is employed full time.
Is that poverty line before or after taxes?
I assume after taxes.
After?
So right. Even less. Because I mean, if you look at the tax rate, it's pretty lenient when you're down that low, but even still, like say 10% tax, after Uncle Sam gets his cut, you're looking at about $14,000 in a year.
Not much wiggle room.
So you're looking at, $2,000 above poverty for being an employed individual. Like, you were working full time and you were just above poverty.
And depending on what you do in life, and you and I talked about this on the insurance show, depending on what bad luck you've had, you could be in so much debt that not only are you trying to survive on a month to month, wage, but you also have a severe backlog of money you have to pay that you can't afford to pay. Lindsay and I, we both work full time. She and I both work full time, 40 hours a week, decently paying jobs. Yeah. And there's a lot of times we have to struggle to make ends meet. There is no reason that two people who work in management that work 40 hours a week each have to struggle as much as they do to survive. And to be able to buy myself something nice occasionally is ridiculous.
Right. I completely agree. And if you look at, and that was that figure, that just under $12,000. That is the poverty line for one person living alone. The poverty line for the basic atomic family now, which is upgraded, I believe, from the two parents, one child to two parents, two child.
Of those parents might be gay.
Who knows?
Who knows?
That number has gone.
You'll be able to marry your cat someday, according to some Republicans.
Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway,
he is again.
And Kurt, I'm sorry if I offend you with all of my
words. No, you're fine.
But anyway, that number, is just under $25,000.
Stop kneeing the table.
That's the first time I've kneed the table so far today. That number is just under $25,000. Now, say the mother needs to stay home to take care of the kids, so she's not working. So now you have the father, the only one working, all he can find is minimum wage because reasons. He's still only making that $14,000. He is $10,000 below poverty. Now, there are government programs, and this is the other part that Republicans are so pissed off about. And I say, we keep trashing Republicans.
There's a reason.
There is a reason. Either way.
Let's backtrack. Not all Republicans.
Not all Republicans.
Because we have people on this show who are Republican, who are damn decent, and I hate Republicans and Democrats. I'll throw that out there. I think politics in general are a joke.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Indeed.
We've talked about that before too. The
Republicans are just easier to make fun of.
That's true because they've got people like Donald Trump.
Donald
their party.
Trump.
Great spokesman.
Great, great man. God damn it.
That was the other option for tonight's show.
No one wanted us to talk about Donald Trump. And here we are doing it. Either way, so that's one of the big complaints that, a lot of the Republicans have is that you have people freeloading off of the government because, they need money. So they're against raising minimum wage, yet on the same side, they're also against government helping these people survive while they're working full time.
Now, the reason people are so skeptical about government-assisted programs like that, personal story, I won't name names because that's not what we do here. But I know a guy who lives with me whose sister purposely did not get a job after she had her kid because she was told by her parents that getting a job would ruin her government assistance money.
And that's true.
Yeah, there are people that do abuse the system. There absolutely are people that abuse the system, but there are also people that need the money. So where do you strike a balance to help those that deserve it and weed out those who abuse it?
Yeah.
And that's actually the thing that I've talked about before in that situation. Were it not for the fact that minimum wage was just ludicrous, like the minimum wage is far too low, if that weren't the case, then the government-assisted programs would be far less necessary. Because it's actually like, I know what you're talking about, I know the situation, and yes, they are abusing the system, but in this particular situation, I can't argue against it. It was wise to abuse the system because it was going to cost her money to actually work for a living.
I guess we work on an honor code that a lot of people don't.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Kurt, we talked earlier that you are starting teaching.
Yeah.
You got a lot of great stuff going for you right now. It's an exciting time to be alive for you. But you didn't start that way, did you?
No.
You worked a couple jobs you probably didn't want to. You don't have to name any names in case you want to keep that bridge. But I'm assuming you just didn't get out of high school and go, I'm going to teach. And then you walked it back into the classroom and said, this is my room now.
The first job I ever worked was, I think, my sophomore, junior year in high school during the summer. I worked at a slaughterhouse.
Oh, shit.
Fruitland Dressed Meats.
Good place?
Remember,
this is going to be on the internet.
It was a good place in the fact that it made me want to get a degree. And I didn't want...
Delicious.
I worked minimum wage, and the first summer I was inside a cow carcass half the time.
Was it cooler inside the cow carcass?
It was not.
Damn.
It was much hotter.
I always think when I think cow carcass, I think like Rocky.
Yes.
Where he's like,
I imagine Kurt.
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
that's
Kurt's exactly in there boxing the meat, you know.
And it's cold. It's all refrigerated. Oh, so that's, I think nice that's and cool.
That was my second summer.
Oh, okay.
That was my second summer.
So
the first summer was prepping the cows to go into this like awesome cold room.
And then a year later you came back.
I was like,
it smelled horrible, it by the way, leaving those cows out for a year.
I remember this dude.
Yeah.
I named him.
This was Donald Trump.
Name past him.
Just always go to Donald Trump or Nate.
And I actually do have a point to make about
in the freezer.
It made you, God
damn. Stop doing the Nate
voice. It made you want to get a degree. Now, that's another problem that we've got going right now that, basically, there are all these promises going around.
Yes,
I completely agree
with that, too.
They talk about the statistics of if you have a college degree, you are statistically far more likely to be making bukus of money. Mm-hmm.
I have not heard the term bukus in forever.
I haven't either. I felt like I needed to resurrect that. I need to bring it back.
Look at this. Lindsay Wolfgang over here, she has a college degree, and she has a college degree in animation. She works at a retail store. I have a degree in journalism. I work at a retail store. You are the only one that has a job anywhere near the field that he went to school for.
So, and it's not even
technically to you.
It's not even technically my field.
Yeah.
Like that's
it's somewhere close.
It's somewhere adjacent.
But did you get that job to begin with?
Do what?
Did you automatically leave school and bam, you got your new super job?
No, I did not.
You went to GameStop just like I did and struggled for years on the GameStop wage, which compared to a lot of places is nice. But
yes.
You weren't exactly swimming in the dough.
No,
You still aren't swimming in the dough.
No, I'm still not. Like, it was one of those things where I was very much, kind of like in the dough puddle.
there were dough tendencies.
Enjoying the occasional, like, nice thing I could get for myself.
Yeah.
But most of the time it was just paying my bills and, you know, buying groceries. And that was the end of my funds.
If that is the point of your existence is just to survive, that's a shitty existence.
Yeah. And so, a lot of people, and I mean, Shannon, to make you feel better, and Lindsay, I know at least 50 people that I could probably rattle off of my Facebook that have college degrees, bachelor's degrees, 4-year degrees, they went completed, and they absolutely can't find work in their field.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in this store alone, on the Podzilla crew, Krista Francis, she has a 4-year degree. She's moving to New Orleans in hopes of getting a job, but she doesn't actually have one yet.
Have we made that news?
Yes.
Okay.
We talked about it on, oh shit, I haven't posted Nerd Up.
Yeah, you gotta wait another day now. This has gotta go up tonight. Remember what happened last time you posted 2 in one day?
I do.
One of them suffered. Maybe. We don't even fucking know.
Fucking Podbean.
What was your degree in?
Computer science.
And what is your current job?
I do IT for Cape County.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Yeah, so basically my degree was in programming. My job is tech guy. So, I mean, like...
I can see what you mean now.
I very easily could have gotten my job.
There's a computer involved. Yeah.
He's ballpark.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I could have gotten my job having not had the college degree. Now, that's not to say that my college degree didn't possibly help me get the job.
Yeah.
But it was... It's very much not in my field. I did not study IT work in college. I studied programming and programming languages and writing programs. Right now I'm fixing computers.
And we're talking about this from the perspective of people that went to college or that have studied specific things that have had the opportunity to go to these places and try to better ourselves. But what about the people that work at McDonald's or Walmart because that's all they can do? They don't have a degree. They didn't go to college. They need a job. And you know from experience that if you don't have the credentials to get in certain areas, you won't get in. They'll get someone that does have the credentials. So these people work at Walmart. They work at McDonald's. Like my cousin Gina said on my Facebook, remind people of the people that have to work two jobs because employers won't put them full time because then they have to give them benefits.
Right.
That is absolutely a thing.
Yeah.
So these people are struggling. How do you help them? Well, the first answer you hear is raise the minimum wage again to $15. I'm not for that. And before everybody gets mad at me and says, you're crazy, how can you not be for that so people can live? The place that we work, we don't make a ton of money here. Ourselves or the store. We're not the equivalent of GameStop. We're not Walmart. We survive month to month, just like someone that has a job. To raise the minimum wage to $15 would bankrupt a place like this. For the person that owns the store, and I won't mention names right now, you all know who it is, for him to have to pay $15 per employee to work, he couldn't afford that. The only option he has is to raise prices, and no one will buy, or go out of business, which is what he'll have to do. And how many small businesses will suffer because the minimum, because yes, Walmart and McDonald's, absolutely, $15 an hour, they can afford it. We can't.
Right. And that's actually one of the things. Lonnie is immune from minimum wage. A lot of small businesses are, and they do it for that reason. And I can get into why later, but yeah, Lonnie actually wouldn't suffer from that. He just wouldn't raise the wages.
The person I said I would not name.
Hey, Lonnie. Love you.
Son of a bitch.
Not him.
Well, some, him sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he was calling me a son of a bitch there, not you.
But then I changed my stance.
Yes. Anyway, the point is there. Now, $15 may be overshooting it a little bit, but minimum wage definitely
needs to go up. Yeah.
And basically there is a guideline, and I can go into it because it kind of helps my point. Lonnie doesn't have to hit minimum wage because he doesn't make enough money in a year. Once you hit a threshold of yearly income, then you have to start, you start qualifying for minimum wage restrictions. And they can actually bracket that. So like Walmart, they make millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
They do well for themselves.
They could afford to give every single one of their employees $20 an hour and still be fine.
The reason they get so rich is because they pay so little.
Right. And that's actually the whole 1% idea, because the most expensive part of operating any business is labor.
Yeah.
Like, no amount of overhead is greater than labor. So all of these CEOs are looking at how to increase profits. The only thing they can do at this point is to lower wages and keep wages low.
My problem with that, though, of raising the minimum wage is even if you did do that at a place like McDonald's or Walmart where they can afford it, who's going to want to work here for minimum wage or $7.50 or whatever it is, when you can go to McDonald's and flip a burger for $15 an hour?
Yeah.
Well, who in their right mind would take that job?
That's a great point.
I mean, you're working at a better place, but what would you choose? Double the money or screwing around all day for less?
It becomes the last option.
Suddenly, we're the last option.
Honestly, Lonnie would have to raise the wages a little bit.
Or he'd just do the job himself. He'd have to leave where he works now, and he would have to do this job entirely on his own and just collect all the profits himself.
But again, like I said, $15 an hour, I still think is a little high. But if you look at that though, the jobs would fill up so quickly in like those big corporations. So like Walmart and, McDonald's and everything else. Yeah. The turnover rate would go to nothing. They would constantly have positions full. It would become almost as exclusive as like working at Gaming Grounds is now. But you got to know somebody, and you got to catch it at the right time for somebody to leave.
Of that either.
Yeah, because who the fuck wouldn't for $20 an hour, especially if they do that bracketed idea? I don't make $20 an hour at my job.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. if Walmart suddenly, if they started out, you know, $20 an hour for grunt labor, and I'm sitting over here running two stores and going out of my fucking mind trying to keep everything together for much less, why would I stay here? For the pride?
So,
pride will only get you so far.
So again, $15 is overreaching a little in terms of minimum wage. Like, I would just barely, if we raise it to minimum wage, like, I'll barely be over minimum wage doing, you know, my career. Not that, you know, it's not important for other people to be making a livable wage, but yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of restrictions. There needs to be reform in general, but either way, as it stands, $7.65 for full-time employees is ludicrous.
It is ludicrous, but I think it also creates a, and guys, sorry, me and Jesse are just like yelling at each other right now and leaving these two out of it, and I apologize for that, but it creates a society where why better myself? Why go to college to study for a job when I can just go to McDonald's and make this great money? Because if they raise the minimum wage at a place like McDonald's to $20 an hour, your job where you have studied for and you have gone to college for, are they going to boost you up that same percentage? No, they're going to keep you around the same. So now you're going to make as much, if not a little bit more, than someone that flips a burger all day. See, not to shoot against people that flip burgers. I love McDonald's.
And are you against
except
that?
For when I found the beetle inside my burger.
I remember that.
I did. That's a story for another time.
The one over by Walmart. Just don't go there.
Yeah.
But anyway, though.
You're going to pay them $15 to do that?
To move on to, like, a little bit of a counter-argument to that, and especially with Kurt here is a great example. Kurt, what are you, high school, is that what you're planning on teaching?
As of right now, I don't really know. I'm just using that as, like, a way to...
You're just getting your foot in the door
basically, you're planning on doing...
I'm thinking either a
primary
trainer...
Primary or secondary education, right?
As of right now, education isn't, like, the main thing. I'm thinking, like, a head strength coach, personal trainer... Crap, I keep hitting the table.
It's okay.
Handcuff me.
Yeah.
If you guys
Oh, don't worry.
Oh, good. That went much better than I thought.
We'll get the pink fuzzy ones for you.
Maybe a professor if I really like this position.
Okay. So. Well, I was going to bring that up because as of right now, you can make more money. What the fuck
No, it's fine. Go about your business.
You can make more money as an assistant manager at Starbucks or a manager at McDonald's than a teacher makes.
No.
Or a police officer. True story. My friend Allie, I sincerely
Which Allie
doubt,
are we talking about?
You don't know her. Well, her last name is Nix now. It used to be Liggins. A few listeners might know her. I really doubt it. I went to high school with
Shout
her.
Out to Allie.
She went to Arkansas. She was one of my best friends in high school. I loved Allie and her and I went to the same college. She went to SEMO for a little while because she was going to be a teacher. Like she was in like FTA, Future Teachers of America. She was dead set on being a teacher. And then she was working, while in college, like most of us have to, at Starbucks. And she was-
Wait, hold on. You mean most of us were working as we had to at Starbucks, or just we were working,
working as most of us okay, had to.
I didn't know if you were insinuating that all college kids work at Starbucks.
No. Well, I mean, anyway.
Most of them, yeah.
So, yeah. She was working at Starbucks, and she was really good at Starbucks, and they wanted to put her in the fast track to management. Now, she couldn't do school and fast track to management. And then they told her what the starting salary was for a Starbucks manager. Which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, starting salary for a Starbucks manager is $45,000 per year.
Holy Jesus.
That's more than I make here.
That's more than I make.
So more than
Allie,
I make.
Very promptly.
I found $15 in my coat pocket the other day. That's more than you make.
Yep.
So Allie very promptly dropped out of college. Now this is a girl that she was top 10% of our class. I mean, her and I were both right there.
Where'd you go to high school?
Cape Central.
You're one of those guys.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry you're from Jackson.
I am too, aka this weekend.
I'm from Illinois.
She's
from Pennsylvania.
She is from Pennsylvania. So yeah, I mean, and I went to a large high school and, you know, Allie was dead set. Like she's wanted to be a teacher for most of her life.
It was her dream.
It was her dream.
But then money interfered with dreams.
And then yeah, Starbucks was like, you can drop out of college. They even have scholarships that when you're on the fast track to management that you can apply for to pay for whatever college you've already done.
So this fast track to management.
Tell me more about it.
Yes. But you
how
have
do I
to
apply.
You have to have been working at
Screw
Starbucks,
kids.
And you can be offered the position.
Jared, get out of here.
So yeah, manager at Starbucks, $45,000. So Allie dropped out of
Mistakes
college.
Were made in my life,
and she decided to do that. Wisely.
Yeah.
Because the starting salary for a teacher in this country is under $30,000.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
How terrible is that? That we pay our teachers
under.
So
I thought it was
little.
About $35,000.
Maybe if you're teaching at, like, Princeton.
Yeah, it depends on where you're teaching. Private schools are really high.
Yeah.
Like, if you got a job at Notre Dame or something like that, and even some public schools are higher, but like Cape Central, as an example, Dr. Nikolai at Cape Central, if any of you went there, I really doubt. I don't think any Cape Central people listen to the show. He was one of my favorite teachers at Cape. And he has a PhD. He teaches English. He has a PhD in literature with a specialization in Shakespearean literature. And he decided he wanted to be a high school teacher. With his PhD in teaching for 30 years, when he left, I don't even think he had hit $50,000. And I don't... Wow. And I think he is like, I know he's moving. I don't know if he's actually retiring. And I mean, he does it because he loves it. He is not doing it for the money. And that's all well and good, but Allie was making more as a manager of Starbucks than a man with his PhD teaching for 30 years.
I'm looking at something real quick. All right. So, pretend I don't know math, but $15 an hour times 40 hours a week. Times
that's a $31,200
a year. $31,000
a year
for minimum wage, which is more than I make. And of course, we don't have to get into the exacts of it, but let's just say that's a lot more. I'm not going to get a bump up if they get a bump up. So I don't think everyone's clamoring for this raise. I don't think it's as simple as they think it is.
Again, $15 an hour. Overshooting.
Yeah, you're going to put so many places out of business that aren't McDonald's, Walmart. Everybody wants to take down the evil corporation. I get that. And you want people to survive. I get that too. But you're also going to destroy a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's why I said, like, reform is necessary. It's not going to be as simple as just raising the minimum wage to an acceptable number. Like, I feel like $10 an hour is probably right in that, like, comfortable range.
It's kind of a sweet spot for a lot of people.
Yeah, like I feel like $10 an hour, like that will put people well above poverty and, you know, create a livable wage, you know, kind of like alleviate some of the government programs. And then there's other things that you can, you know, do to fix that. But it's not going to be just a simple, like, let's raise it to 10 and now all the problems are solved.
Something else that a lot of people don't think of, at least I don't think they think of it, is managing the money that they get. And who's just out of high school or I strongly believe that probably the most valuable things that I've learned in college have nothing to do with what the textbooks have told me.
Yeah, no, and that's actually those expensive ass textbooks.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's another problem with the education system. With high schools, like I know I've talked to some friends of mine that went to Jackson. And as far as I'm aware, Jackson has zero financial planning classes.
None. Not one that I know of.
Yeah. And CAPE does require you to take one.
That's awesome.
It's a semester-long course. It teaches you how to, like, balance checkbooks. It tells you, like, credit cards are bad, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think it's actually called finance management is the class that I took in high school in CAPE. And I found out that is a rare, rare, rare thing.
I haven't heard of it before.
Yeah. So many schools are so concerned with funding based on, like, the tests. Like, here in Missouri, we have the, you know, the MAP tests. If a school doesn't score high enough on average on the MAP test, then the government cuts their funding. Because that makes sense.
Yeah. Because of logic. I believe Vince McMahon works for the government.
So you've got a lot of these schools that are basing their entire program around raising scores specifically on the MAP tests so they can keep their funding. Like, to the point, when I went to a smaller school, before I went to Cape Central, I was going to miss a day of, like, MAP test practice. They set out the 2 weeks before MAP tests. Every single class is just all studying, practicing, and learning for the MAP tests.
Yeah,
other stuff is cut.
They were going to have an amendment, I think, a couple years back. Do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that? I need to
maybe
not touch
now
the
you don't have a note to look at.
I know, right? I was not prepared for this segment. Where the teachers' salaries dependent on how well their students did on these tests.
It's kind
of
like
that makes a lot of sense now that you say that their funding comes from their test scores.
It's kind of like GameStop management. The managers only get a raise if the store does well and the other employees do well.
Yes.
It's not entirely based on your own actions. I saw something that my friend Michael McDowell posted. I'm pretty sure he listens to this show. I think it was him that said, if you really want to, I'm paraphrasing again, but if you want people to do better in life, teach them how to do stuff, not just how to take tests. Don't teach them how to take these tests and get good grades. Teach them how to live.
And that's exactly, that was the point I was boiling down to there. Like, the finance management class has no benefit to the MAP tests. So why would any school ever have it?
Yeah.
And most schools are even cutting their art programs so that they can devote more time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so they can devote more time to, you know, raising scores on the MAP test.
Money is the only important thing.
So, I mean, that becomes an issue. Like Kurt said, that was an excellent point. A lot of these kids leave high school and they don't have any sort of knowledge on how to actually survive in the real world.
Or even count money.
So they can get the raise.
Yeah. Forget the raise. You'll just blow it.
Exactly. Yeah. So the $15 an hour, I'm willing to bet that they don't, they've probably never had that type of money.
Yeah.
And when they get that money,
it's
going to slip through their fingers and they're not going to know how.
It's just, you know, when I first moved to Cape Girardeau, I mean, this isn't the same thing, but we were talking about food one day, me and, Dave Willer, the gentleman that owns the Jackson Cape Gaming Grounds building. And I told him when I lived in Illinois, I lived out in the country. We didn't have delivery or places like that. I was much healthier. The moment I got to Cape and I realized I could get food delivered to me and that I could eat pizza or, you know, burgers every night.
Also,
I got horribly out of shape. I didn't know how to handle that. Just like these kids don't know how to handle their money. Shut your mouth, Kurt.
It's also,
I don't want to talk about pizza.
Of drive through everything.
Drive through everything. Drive through educations.
I remember talking to people from, St. Louis that were coming down here for SEMO and, you know, other places around the areas. And, you know, I've lived around Cape and, you know, the surrounding areas for a long time. So a drive-through gas station isn't an odd concept to me. Apparently, that is the weirdest thing that St. Louis people will see when they come here. Like, we have a drive-through window in virtually every establishment that sells product, including our gas stations. Every gas station has drive-through.
And Little Caesars.
And Little Caesars. Little Caesars has drive-through. Every restaurant in town that people go to, except for, you know, the really nice ones, and even those are establishing, like, car side to go. You don't even need to leave your car to get food.
Yeah. What a society we've created. But that is a show for another time. We are going to wrap this one up. We're a little bit over. 6 minutes over. But when you have conversation this good, who's counting? Am I right, fellas? Ethan.
Yeah.
You speak now.
I'm speaking right now. I'm talking to you.
All right.
Hey, what's going on?
I think the two listeners that left us about 20 minutes ago, they were counting.
Yeah. Well, once we started bashing Nate again, he stopped listening. Oh. You know he's afraid of horses, but he loves My Little Pony?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that today.
That'll be a show for another day. That'll be a show for another day.
All right.
Horses are disgusting. They disgust me.
But My Little Pony is just a giant lesbian circle.
Oh, those are cartoon ponies.
He called me Moon Boy.
I saw that.
That's an insult because I watched Sailor Moon. That's like me calling Ethan, you know, gay porn boy.
Because see, when I think of Moon Boy,
see, I'm insulting you're homosexual. Not that that's an insult.
I'm not homosexual.
Well, what you do in your free time disgusts me.
So there's a character, and I know that Nate wasn't referencing this because he's never read this particular set of books, but in the A Song of Ice and Fire series, there's a character by the name of Moon Boy that's actually a mentally handicapped entertainer.
Sounds right, actually.
Because he was...
Ethan, give me your helmet. I need it.
Was the helmet why you struggled to get a job at the first place? Do I know you well enough to make that joke?
Yeah, anybody can make those jokes.
Anyone can really make fun of me.
Ethan's a good sport. He's all right.
Feel free. I just make it easy. So
yeah, make fun of the guy that travels the world helping people and is teaching nutrition and make fun of him. Go ahead, give him your best shot.
No, please. Like
you got an X on your shirt. That mean I can't do
that. Is that where the treasure is?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. You got an X on your shirt. Does that mean you're a treasure?
You got the happy trail to go shit, to the
X. Oh, shit! Damn it!
And
even my insults are kindness.
I think that'll do it for us. For Ethan Craig Miles, Jesse Kimball, Kurt McDowell, thank you all three for appearing. Kurt especially, thanks for coming on
and sharing
your wisdom and kind spirit with us. Ethan, thanks for showing up.
I always do.
Jesse, always a pleasure.
Thanks, sir.
He nodded at me. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you again on, we need to post a Nerd Up.
I can post it tomorrow or I can post it tonight.
Oh yeah, Wednesday. We don't do anything on Wednesdays.
Right.
Okay, so Nerd Up tomorrow. It's a special. Did you guys talk about the con? Con stuff?
We talked about, yeah, we did con stories.
Con stories. One. Which is, sounds like a fun show to listen to. Nightmare stuff like that. And I heard your laptop went down in the middle of it.
It did. Well, I mean, it gave me warning. So
it always does.
Partway through the show, like I actually do say, "Oh God!"
So listeners, when you hear "Oh God," tell us the time, and you'll win a ghost pepper. I don't know. All right,
free handshake. Free handshake.
What?
Shake.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a good weekend, and you know, if you see Michelle Carter, throw a tomato or a rock,
or
make it a big rock.
Really, really big rock.
Or a shuriken. If you have them.
Throw something.
That reminds
something.
Me of the Batman, the animated series episode, where they were all sitting around and...
Oh, I almost got him?
Yeah, I almost got him. Well, how'd you get him?
I threw a rock at him. It was a big rock. Spoiler alert. Killer Croc is Batman. All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you on the next one. Have a good night.